And many have tried to attack that verse and tried to explain away the whole matter, yet it fits into the picture of the Christ puzzle so wonderfully that you really have to throw that verse out if you don't want to believe it. The one we're looking at here today is very similar. It's a classic incarnation text concerning the coming of Christ into this world, that he would bring peace to the hearts of men. Now, there are five grand titles that are given to the Savior, and the Lord Jesus owns them all. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and we are rejoicing today in the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. I hope that you are encouraged in heart, that you're able to share the gospel message at this time with friends, family, and neighbors, and that the love of God will compel you to tell the story of the Savior's love. Here today we have our whole lineup of items. We have Mr. Spurgeon's The Name of Jesus Unique Among His People. And he mentions that there were, Josephus the historian recorded a number of even 12 persons who were referred to as Jesus. But our Lord Jesus is unique. We have a hymn today, King of Glory. And I trust it will be the message that will thrill your heart. Part 2 of Isaiah 9, The Prince of Peace. And that will be our main message from the pulpit of our church as we let the Bible speak today to bring you the wonderful news of a Savior who is all-sufficient, all-gracious, and just right for you. Here am I, Irish, Scottish, English descent. My grandfather on my mother's side was English. My father's side was Scottish. He left Scotland when my dad was 2 years old, set up home in the north of Ireland. And so I have a Scottish, English heritage. Then we have in our church here, Dutch. We have those who wouldn't give up their Dutch heritage for anything. It's very precious to them. And the wonderful thing is the gospel doesn't ask you to. Keep your Dutchness. Keep your heritage. You are still a Christian. You are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We have those who are German, Italian. I was hoping Joe would be here today that I could make that point. We have Chinese, some born in Hong Kong, some in Singapore. We have Filipino, African. Glad to see Simon here today. We have Indian, Pakistan. Alan wasn't born there. He's born in Britain, but that's his heritage. That's his nationality or his family heritage. Then we have Sanjay. He was born in Suriname, South America, and British Guyana. And I'm probably leaving many out. The Hansen name would be Swedish. And I could probably go on. And here we are, all these peoples of the world in one location, coming together week by week for church to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the Prince of Peace. And he brings this wonderful unity, this oneness between people of diversity. We keep our diversity as far as our nationalities go, but we are one in Christ Jesus. Whether we are bond, are free, are Scythian, or Greek, or Jew, or Gentile, we are one in Christ Jesus. And it's all accomplished by the work of the cross. We would say the exact same thing to Muslims, to Arabs, to any who wish to come and hear the gospel. Believe on our Lord Jesus Christ, and you are our brother. And you will enjoy this peace, which our Prince of Peace gives to every believer. We're not followers of Muhammad, and we do not agree with all the jihadist notions and all the saying that infidels should be put to death. Our gospel is a gospel of peace. And our Lord Jesus has taught us to pray for our enemies and be reconciled where we can, to live peaceably with all men, that this gospel, this Prince of Peace and his message may prevail amongst men. And this is the hope of the world. If we're ever to see peace break out in the world, it must be through this message of peace. I'm sure you've heard the story of World War I, 1914, Christmas Day, whenever peace broke out on the trenches. And there were hymn singing on both sides. Now, this was in France, but there was Germans on one side, British on the other, and they were both singing Christmas carols. And a truce broke out. End of story, a football game began between opposing forces. Now, the tragedy is, of course, that whenever their superiors got wind of this, the shooting began again. The war went on. It was a very temporary, limited thing. In fact, it may be embellished here and there, and we just won't. But it broke out in several parts along the front on Christmas Day, 1914. And military men made sure it never happened again. But our Lord Jesus is the Prince of Peace, reconciling men to God. And this is what we need in Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, North Korea, all the places of the world that people are fleeing for their lives. What do they need? They need the Prince of Peace. They need Christ in their hearts. You can bomb, you can kill, but you cannot bring peace by those means. Now, I believe in defending. I believe in taking up arms where necessary to defend life. But the real answer is the gospel. And we need to pray much for our missionaries. They're in the front lines. They're in cultures and places where peace is very, very scarce and where violence breaks out very quickly. And we need the gospel to prevail in the nations of the world. Next, the Lord Jesus gives inner peace. And I'm thinking here of John 14, where the Lord Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." We're talking here in John 14 about heart peace, inner peace, peace in the soul, peace of mind, peace and contentment. Now, all the philosophers of the world can reason and debate about the emotional state of man and how to bring him into a higher level of emotional stability and so on. But no one can give peace but Jesus. No one can actually take a slice of peace out of his own life and put it into the life of another. I'm sure psychiatrists and psychologists and doctors of all kinds are frustrated. This doesn't work. This is not helping. Things are just temporary. We try to manage it, but we can't really give peace to people. Well, the Lord Jesus did constantly. And here he is saying to his people, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. Now, why? Go down to verse 27. He says to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." Now you must notice that the Lord is dealing here with troubled hearts. They're troubled because Christ is leaving them. He has just announced that he's departing from them. And they are filled with fear and questions. And he seeks to quiet their hearts and to bring some sense of control into their lives by saying, "My peace I give unto you." And to receive this inner peace, it requires personal faith in the Lord Jesus. That's why he said, verse 1, "You believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled." Now, the Lord Jesus gives to us true peace. I want you to notice in verse 27 that he went on to say, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth." That's the false peace. That's the phony. And the world is continually and perhaps most powerfully at this time of year, trying to tantalize men with glitter and with the sham, trying to tell them this will make you happy, this thing will make your life better and bring you that joy that you're looking for. And then, of course, there's the alcoholism and the drug fixes that many resort to try and find some kind of happiness or peace. But they all leave men and women empty. The hangover, the day after, the drained, empty feeling will still return. But the Lord Jesus says, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now, it is enduring peace because it's pure peace. The Lord Jesus could not give anything that was not pure. He is the sinless Son of God. And what he gives to us is filled with purity. Now, it leads to true holiness. And that's why it is lasting peace and blessed peace in our very soul. And it deals, of course, with a guilty conscience. It's one of the biggest problems of our human nature. Guilt. A conscience that is crying out, guilty, 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 and can find no peace. And a guilty conscience is a powerful thing. It sounds the alarm in your very whole makeup, your whole inner being is alerted. There's something wrong with me. I'm not at rest. And it comes as a terrible turmoil to the heart. And it's instant. Just as when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, it was instant guilt. Judas, when he betrayed the Lord, instantly guilt rode him to death as he hanged himself very quickly. He couldn't live with himself. The ultimate responsibility of each soul to God is spoken by our consciences. I read of Samuel J. Mills, who was struggling against convictions. And he exclaimed, "I wish I had never been born." And his mother replied, "But you are born, my son, and you can never escape the accountability of God." And that's the tragedy of people seeking suicide, a way out from their troubles. In reality, they just go to stand before God. What a torment. What a future. What lack of peace. But this peace that Christ gives is pure peace. Now notice in this passage, in verse 15 and 21, 23, that he bases this peace on keeping the commandments. This is pure peace, holy peace. "If you love me, keep my commandments." Verse 21 then, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." And then verse 23, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him." So Jesus offers peace, not by abandoning truth and the law, but peace that fulfills the law. Peace that walks with God's holy standard. Peace that fulfills every command and every obligation of God's law. It's also a spiritual peace, because here the Lord is saying to his disciples that he's going to give them a comforter in verse 26. "The comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." Now the Holy Spirit, of course, is holy. He is the dove. He is the unblemished, pure one. And this is pure peace. It is spiritual peace, because it is akin to peace of heaven. It's the same kind of peace that we will enter into when we see Christ in glory. And a little slice of that peace, Jesus gives, "My peace I give unto you." He's not recommending patterns of peace and precepts for peace and programs for peace. He's not presenting some ideologies of peace. He's saying, "You just believe me, you just pray, you just ask of me, and I'll give you my peace," to a little degree at least in this world, until that day when we see Christ and we will experience the fullness of eternal peace with God. Unbelievers, Stop. Stop following the world to try and find some kind of peace. You'll never find it. You're chasing a rainbow that has no pot of gold at the end. I bid you to come to the Prince of Peace. I bid you today to trust the Lord Jesus, who truly does give real, lasting, heavenly peace, planting it in the soul of believers. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Are you doing that? Maybe a Christian here today and you have become ruffled and troubled in life. Your Christian life may have lost some of the sweetness that it once had. Will you come back to the Prince of Peace and say, Lord Jesus, I just trust you for the peace that you've purchased and you've promised to me. I want to live in your peace. I want this real peace. I want to thank you for all the outward temporal blessings, but Lord, they don't satisfy my soul. I need your spirit. I need your presence. I need your peace in my heart. And Lord, this is real Christianity. This is why you died on the cross, that you would give peace to men. Not peace with a gun, not peace with power, but peace through the cross. And when you come that way, surely the Lord will bless you greatly. Can you do that today? Mother, grandparent maybe, boy or girl, you might be troubled about something. Will you go to the Prince of Peace and say, Lord, give me your peace? I'm not asking you to reprogram me. I'm asking you, Lord, to allow your peace to fill me. That's spiritual peace. That's the gift of the Lord. And then we come to instant peace. And as I mentioned earlier, this is the great mark of that this is Christ's work. Because what Christ gives is instant. It's not something that's incremental, piecemeal over time. Now sometimes our peace in Christ does grow, but the grounds, the basis, the foundation of peace is laid instantly. Absolutely instantly. Now there are many examples of this. The dying thief promised glory right away. And if he understood it all, heaven was born in his soul that moment. I mentioned the demon-filled man howling among the tombs. The chains could hardly hold him. No one could tame him, but Christ did. Instantly. Had him sitting at his feet in his right mind. Christ has the power to bring his peace into troubled hearts of all kinds. There was the woman taken in adultery. And as they dragged her out into the judgment light of Christ, she thought she was condemned. Indeed, the law did condemn her. And she was guilty. But only Christ could have made the statement that he gave her. Go and sin no more. The woman of Samaria, likewise, she was to drink of that water of life. And Jesus said to her, I have water to drink of that ye know not of. Of which if any man drink, he will never thirst again. This is the inner peace, and it's instant. This woman went off rejoicing. There was the man they brought on a bed, sick of the palsy. They lowered him down through the roof at Jesus' feet while he was ministering. And not only did the Lord heal the man, but he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. There's peace, there's real peace, and it's instant peace. You don't have to do penance. You don't have to say Hail Marys and pray prayers and go through pilgrimages and do anything more. You just accept the gift. Because this peace is God's gift. You're not saved by works. By grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God. How do you receive a gift? If this week someone offers you a gift, how are you going to receive it? You just put out your hands. Depends how big it is. One hand, two hands. You just stretch out to receive it. And it's yours. If it's a true gift, no strings attached. You don't want to open the card inside and say, well, pay me $1 a week for the rest of the year and it's yours. No, that's not a gift. A gift is a gift. A gift is all now for free. And that's the peace, the gospel peace that the Lord gives to his people and gives to all who will trust in him. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, 12, it says, to as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, them that receive him. Christ is the gift. You can't get any of these gifts without Christ himself. His peace doesn't come without his person. His pardon doesn't come without his person. You must have the Christ to have the peace of Christ and the pardon of Christ
and the love of Christ flowing within your souls. And yet he says, ask, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And so for us to receive this gift, we say, Father, you sent your Son into this world. I think of the prophecy of Zacharias, who said to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The song of the angels, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And then the words of old Simeon, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. It wasn't until he had the Christ in his arms that he took the gift that he could die in peace. And when you have Christ in your life, you can live at peace and die at peace and enter into heaven to know this peace perfectly. May God in grace minister to your heart. May the Prince of Peace come and fill your heart day by day and bless you. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, and we're looking at the name of Jesus, common yet unique, a little word by Mr. Spurgeon. The name Jesus was not at all uncommon among the Jews.
Josephus mentions no less than 12 persons who bore that name. Salvation of a certain kind was so longed for by the Jews that their eagerness was seen even in the choice they made of their children's names. Their little ones were, because of their hopes concerning them, called saviors, yet they were not really saviors. How common are nominal saviors? Lo here, say some, is a savior. Lo there, cry others, is another savior. All these have the name, but not the power. And now our Lord Jesus Christ has claimed the title exclusively for himself. His name shall be called Jesus, for he alone is a prince and a savior, and he only saves his people from their sins. Other so-called saviors do but mock the hopes of mankind. They promise fairly, but they utterly deceive all who rely upon them. But this holy child, this blessed, glorious God with us, has truly brought us salvation. And he saith, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." This Jesus of Nazareth, the King of kings and Lord of lords, is the one and only Savior. He and none but he shall save his people. He and not another shall save them by his own act and deed. Singly and unaided, he shall save his people, personally and not by another. In his own name and on his own behalf, he shall by himself purge away his people's sins. He shall do all the work and leave none of it undone. He shall begin it, carry it on, and complete it. And therefore is his name called Jesus, because he shall fully, entirely, and perfectly save his people from their sins. The name Jesus has been, in a minor sense, applied to others aforetime. But now, henceforth, no one else may wear it, since there is no other Savior but Christ the Lord. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, the uniqueness of Jesus' name. And as we celebrate the incarnation, the birth of Jesus into the world, may we give glory to none other, but all unto him. Stand by now for these closing announcements. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak today. This is Ian Gollaher. In this Christmas season, this month of December, we want to bring messages that will lead you to consider the mighty event of Jesus coming into the world, the second person of the Trinity taking human form to become man, in all points to be tempted as man, yet without sin. And we know the miracle of the virgin birth leads to the supernatural life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I trust this month the Lord will bless you through our daily programs here on this station, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. For all the information concerning our church, our broadcast, our literature, our booklet, A New Beginning, you will find all of that on our website. Also, if you have maybe missed part of a program or want to hear it again, you can go to our website and listen to it in the audio form. So join us at our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. That's www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And of course, we invite you to our church services. You can do that in person. We'd love to have you come and join with us as we worship the Lord. Or you can do that on your computer by webcast as you go to our website at 10:30 Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday evening, hit the Live Now button on the homepage, and you can join us to view and listen to our weekly services here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Thank you for joining us today.